have of one day being in heaven already makes our sorrows a little bit easier to bear, already makes our problems a little bit smaller, just by the hope that we have and knowing that one day we're going to be with Him. Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and set this off of here just so I don't throw it off later. Not that I get violent or anything. All right, go ahead and stand with me if you would. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at just one verse, verse 5. All right, Romans 12, 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity that You've given me to preach from Your Word tonight. Lord, You know that I don't take it lightly. Lord, I pray that You would just help to move me aside tonight. Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth would be pleasing to You. Lord, I pray that what goes forward tonight would be effectual to the working and changing of lives, edifying of the believers. And Lord, just have Your will and Your way tonight in everything that's said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. John, the title of the message, Lessons from the Body. Right? Lessons from the Body. I'm not real creative, so that's about as good as it gets with the title. Amen. All right, lessons from the body. Now, I believe firmly, you don't know 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 7, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I hope you believe that verse tonight, and I hope you believe that the Bible that you've got is the inspired Word of God. The Word of God, every single bit of it is inspired, and every single bit of it is profitable, every last word. There are some things that I truly believe that God in His Word does put some more emphasis on than some other things. Not that some things are less Scripture, not that some things are less important, but when the Word of God says something over and over and over again, I think God is trying to tell us something. God's trying to draw us our attention to something. Let me give you an example. Turn over to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 12, just so you follow with what I'm talking about. Excuse me, John chapter 21. You all familiar with this? When Jesus Christ was speaking with Peter, and it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Now, Peter was like any good Baptist. You do see there in verse 15 that they had just dined. All right? So, if you're like me, after you've just dined, you're a little lucid. You're not really sure of what's going on. And sometimes you got to have your attention grabbed a little bit more. Jesus Christ needed to say it again a second time to Peter. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." I imagine at this point in time that Peter's starting to pay a little bit better attention to what Christ is trying to say to him. It's like, whoa, maybe I didn't get the meaning the first time. But he says the same thing, replies in the same way. And in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus Christ had to say something to Peter three times to get his attention, to get him to catch the meaning of what it was that he was trying to say to him. I think very similarly, the Bible talks about the church as being the body of Christ. Over and over again, we see it in the Scriptures. We just read Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, but turn now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now flip over to the next couple books there. Flip over to Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. Ephesians 3, 6, "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. And then over in chapter 4, look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see already in multiple passages in the New Testament that God refers to the church as the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's some fancy literary thing that Paul is trying to do to make it a little bit more catchy so that people will read it. When God places something in His Scripture, He does it with a purpose. Yeah. Every word of the Lord has meaning, and every bit of this Bible is inspired and is profitable. So we can learn some lessons from it. So when God tells us that the church is likened to the body, I think there's some lessons from that that we can learn. Hence the title of the message, Lessons from the Body. You see, there's some similarity between the church of Christ and the physical body that we have. Now, we only take those similarities as far as we can back that up with Scripture, but what we want to do tonight is look at what some of those similarities are with the hope of learning something about us as members in the church. So, Brother Mike, why is that important? Well, the church is where we function, isn't it? As believers, it's the church that we come to work and to serve the Lord. As believers, it's the church where we're going to grow in Christ. The church is where the message of the gospel gets spread across the whole world. Turn real quick over to 1 Thessalonians. If we don't understand the importance of the church in the time that we live in right now, we've got a problem. 1 Thessalonians, just look in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God. Now jump down to verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. The church is where the gospel of Jesus Christ is sent forward. So it's important that we understand about the church. It's important that we understand what it means when the Scriptures say that we are members of the church. So let's go ahead and turn back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me bring you up to speed a little bit. You know the book of 1 Corinthians. You know that the church at Corinth was a troubled church. There were a lot of problems that the Apostle Paul was dealing with in this book. I mean, Paul was dealing, first of all, with some contention that had risen up in the church. Some were saying they were of Paul. Some were saying they were of Apollos. Some were saying they were of Jesus Christ. There was contention that Paul had to deal with. This church struggled with carnality. We find that in chapter 3. Paul said, I can't even speak to you as though you were spiritual because you're carnally minded. It struggled with sin. Of course, you know the incest and the fornication that was taking place in the church in Corinth. It struggled with confusion around the Lord's table, and then it struggled with the spiritual gifts, with the use and the misuse of the spiritual gifts. And that's what brings us up to chapter 12 and the point that we're in. Let's begin in verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So Paul is trying to set the record straight here about the use of the spiritual gifts. And that's not what this message is about tonight, but I hope you understand that this church had some problems. This church had a broken body. The body wasn't functioning the way that it was supposed to. And Paul was addressing it in this book until he gets to this point. How is he going to get the message across to the church of Corinth? Let's look at verse 12. This is where Paul now tries to interject the idea of the body or the church as being a body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The very first thing that we see from this passage of Scripture and what we saw from Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, which says, so we being many are one body in Christ. The first thing we learn is that we are one body. I know, profound, deep, straight out of the Scripture. We are one body. In other words, Paul was back dealing with some contention way back in chapter 1. There were people that said, hey, I'm of Apollos. Hey, I'm of Paul. We have that in churches today? Hey, I'm from this camp of fundamentalism. I'm from this college. I'm from this church. I was under this pastor. I knew these people. Hey, we got the same problem in our churches today that the church of Corinth had back then. Listen, folks, we are one body. The first thing that we realize and learn from the fact that we are one body is that we are all placed into that body the very same way. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Okay, we're not talking about Church of Christ baptism that gets you saved. That's not what we're talking about here, and that's for another time. But it is the function of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are placed into the body of Christ. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see the picture that's beautiful all the time. And let me tell you, tonight if you're here, and you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe it's because you're not in the body of Christ. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, if you can't say, Brother Mike, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I've got it, I know what you're talking about, I'm going to heaven when I die, then that's because you're not a part of the body of Christ. But the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're placed in the hand of Jesus Christ. And you see Pastor Dave do this illustration, and Pastor does the illustration. And no man, the Bible says in John chapter 10, I think it's verse 28, no man can pluck you out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And the Father, Christ said, is greater than I am, greater than all, and no man can take you out of the Father's hand. But you know what? It goes even a little bit farther than that, because now we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Flip over to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Did you get that? After ye heard the word, you trusted. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by coming to some church that has coffee out in the front and everybody feels good. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel as defined in this book. There's no other gospel. You can tell your Jehovah's Witnesses that. Amen? All right, so the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am in the hand of Jesus Christ. I am in the hand of the Father. And you just imagine that being all wrapped up and sealed nice and tightly by the Holy Spirit of God. And then just go over a couple of pages more to, well, I already lost my page. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Hey, that's not a sealing that I'm going to lose. That's not a sealing that I can do something and get myself out of it. I don't care what it is. Nobody's yanking me out of there, and I'm not doing anything to get rid of it. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. But that's how we're placed into the church of God. I didn't do anything to place myself into the body of Christ. There was nothing I could do that was good enough. Didn't matter where I came from. Didn't matter what my upbringing was. Doesn't matter what pastor I sat under. What church I belonged to. Jesus Christ, the function of the Holy Spirit, is what places me into the body of Christ. So the first thing we learn about the fact that we're one body is that we're placed into the body the same way. But another thing that we can learn from that, is that we only have one head. Hey, doesn't that make sense? Hey, this body, I'm one body, right? This hand, it's one body. And I've only got one head. Amen. Praise the Lord, I've only got one head, right? Because I couldn't deal with two of these heads. We've got one head. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you're not already still there. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Just over a couple more pages to chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, many grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then finally, the next chapter, 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Hey, one of the problems that we've got in our churches today is that we're not submitting ourselves to the head. The head of this church, the head of the church is Jesus Christ, but we're not, listen, the body, folks, if my fingers are going to do something, it's my head that tells my fingers to do something, right? Can you imagine, Debbie Black, she plays the piano so beautifully, and can you imagine her sitting up there playing the piano, and then all of a sudden this hand just starts going all over the place and doing its own little thing? I never hear her mess up. She's probably thinking, oh, they hear me mess up. But I never hear her mess up. I never hear Rosie mess up. But can you imagine that happening? That doesn't happen. There's signals. There are signals that come from the head that tell the body what to do. There are messages that go through that nervous system, and they get down to the fingers, and they tell us what to do. They get down to the feet, and they tell us what to do. Problem in the churches is we're not listening to the messages. You see, there's some things that can happen to the body. The body can get damaged. I can do something and I can pinch a nerve. And now all of a sudden the messages aren't working right. Well, folks, we can do stuff in this body that keeps the messages from being heard. We can resist. We can turn off our hearing to those messages. We can get sin that gets in the way of us receiving those messages. And that's why the body oftentimes doesn't function the way that it should, because we get damaged. So we find from the fact that we're one body, that we're all placed into the body the same way. We've only got one head, and boy, we got to listen to what the head is telling us to do. But we derive from just those first two things that if we're placed into the body the same way, and if we really do have just one head, then it stands to reason that we should have a unified purpose. And that as a body, my entire body should be moving in the same direction. I hope this comes home to where we are right now. You know, we have a pastor that has vision. A vision of where this church can go. A vision that he knows that God has given him where this church is going to go. Pastor mentioned just about 10 minutes ago, for you all to come out here. As many of as you can, come out here on Saturday. And I wonder how many just automatically turned that off. There's a unified purpose that this church is trying to achieve, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ here in our Jerusalem. There's, about 30 acres of land that we want to build on. And I wonder if we're moving in a unified purpose. I wonder if every single one of us are praying that the Lord would do something miraculous, because it's got to be the Lord doing something miraculous to take us out to that land. But I wonder if we're unified, if we're moving together toward that purpose. I'm not the world's greatest runner, okay, but I do a lot of it. And some things that I've learned about running is that when the entire body is working together, you work a whole lot more efficiently. You can run a whole lot faster. You see, if it's just, can you imagine me tying your hands behind your back and trying to run? How well does that work? No, you don't go places very fast, and you get tired very, very quickly. But now when I get my arms into it, and my arms are coordinated with my movement, I run more efficiently. I run farther. I run faster, just not very fast. But the body of Christ, when we are all together, when we're unified behind the purpose that God has placed us here for, man, how much farther can we go? How much more can this body do for the cause of Jesus Christ? All right, so the first thing we saw is that we are definitely of one body. It is the Holy Spirit, the function of the Holy Spirit that's placed us into the body of Christ. We've got one head. That head is Jesus Christ. That is who we should be following. Now understand, people talk about universal church and the local church, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand everything when people talk about pastor. I don't. But I know this. I know that this was written to a specific church. And I know that the work of Christ gets done in the local church body. All right? And I know we've got an under-shepherd that the Lord has placed here, and we're to follow him. And so please don't mistake me. He is the leadership of this church, and we're to follow him. And as the Lord guides and directs our pastor, boy, we ought to just get behind that. Let me give you an example. We were members of a church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and the pastor stood up one Sunday and said, I'd like to start something. I would like for this church to get on board and get behind me with something, because I think it's something that will help us all. And it's a church of about 130, maybe 140 people. I'd like for all of us to read through our Bibles in 90 days. And he put out a board, then said, if you're going to commit to doing that, and it was in September, we started September 25th, I think that's right, October, November, December, yeah. So that December 25th comes around, you've read through your Bible, and it was a gift to our Savior to have read through the entire Bible in 90 days. 10, maybe 11 people signed up on that. See, I believe the Lord gave something to our pastor, a vision that would help that church go farther, but not unified, not behind the man of God. Folks, we got to get behind the man of God. All right, so the first point was that we are one body. Let's keep reading back in 1 Corinthians now, chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So very obviously from the passage of Scripture, the first thing we saw was that we are one body, but now we see that we are many members. All right, and there's some things that we can learn about the fact that we are from the fact that we are many members. We each have our own function, right? The hand does not have the same function in the body as the foot. The eye does not have the same function as the ear. And the amazing thing is that God knew exactly what he was doing when he put a hand over here and a hand over here and a foot down here and a foot down here. Can you imagine if it were just one foot in the middle and two hands out here? First of all, how foolish that would look, but second of all, how difficult it would be to get around. Function. Each member of the body has a particular function. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's back up to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, every part of this body supplies something, has its own purpose, has its own function. You know, folks, I don't know what the appendix is for. I really don't. They tell us that we can do without it, and I guess a whole lot of you are doing without it. I still have mine. All right? But a whole lot of people are doing without it. But you know what? God put it there for a reason. Even if scientists can't figure out what that crazy thing is there for, it's there for a reason. Every member is placed into the body for a reason. Every member of the body has a function in the church. Not only does every member have the function, but each member has their own abilities. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. All right, and we see both of these in this passage of Scripture. But every member has their own abilities that they bring to the church. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We each and every one of us have our own function, and we each have our own ability. And it's not, again, anything that we have done. It's God's will. God's the one that's given us the gifts. Again, we're not talking about spiritual gifts, but the gifts, the talents, the abilities that we have are given us of God for the specific purpose of functioning in the body. We got to understand that if we're going to be the right kind of members in the Church of Jesus Christ. So taking now these two things, first of all, that we are one body, that we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, and that we are many members, there's some practical lessons that can now be applied. The first lesson, we already said that every member has a function. So then, every member should be functioning. Yeah. Amen? All right? Every member of the Church of Jesus Christ has a function, so everyone should be functioning. I was getting ready to apologize for making you flip in your Bible, and I don't know why. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 again. All right, I don't think there's anything wrong with flipping around in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the same verse again in verse 16. It really just does not get any simpler than this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of Jesus Christ. We already said everybody has their own ability. Everybody has their own function. So again, what happens when part of it isn't functioning correctly? Let me take you back to the example of running. You know, if I've got a bum leg, I'm not going to function very well. If for whatever reason this leg is not doing the function that it was created and purposed and given the ability to do, then I'm going to have a hard time moving forward. The same is in the Church of Jesus Christ. If the members of the church aren't functioning in the capacity that God has placed them specifically for, then that church is not going to go forward in the way that God wants it to go forward. It's not going to accomplish the things that God wants it to accomplish. Every member has a function, so every member should be functioning. But another thing that we learn back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, be turning there, another practical lesson that we learn is that no member should think of themselves as unimportant. There's no member of the body that's unimportant. Like I said before, that appendix, I don't know why God put it there, but he did. Right. So am I going to look God in the face and say, you shouldn't have put that there. That doesn't belong there. It serves no purpose. Hey, we can't do that with our own selves. No member should think of themselves unimportant. I said 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 17. Verse 15, excuse me. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know what is sad is a church member that thinks they have no importance in the church. That thinks that there's, that for whatever reason, folks, for whatever reason, maybe they think they don't have the ability, they don't have the talent, maybe they think things that they have done in the past keeps them from having a place in the church. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. God placed you here for a purpose. And who are we to look at God and say that purpose isn't significant enough? Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a nursery worker. We got to start turning our things around here. Not everybody's a nurse. I couldn't do that every day. Every week, okay? No member should think themselves unimportant. Amen. But the next thing, no member should think themselves too important. Why? Let's keep reading. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Did you get those two words?
Yeah.
Which seem to be more feeble. That we think to be less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Hey, listen, folks. Preaching to myself here. We've got no business trying to determine God's will for other people's lives. Amen. We've got no business in the church looking at somebody and saying they're not fulfilling God's will for their life. Now, we know, we can see it. Listen, if folks are doing wrong and folks are living in sin, that's obvious, okay? But this hand doesn't have a mind of its own. It has no idea what's going on down here with the foot, except through the head telling it what to do. We can't look at another member and say, hey, I have no use of you. Katie reminded me of a pastor that preached a message on the body of Christ, and he stood up there, and it's hilarious the way that he did it, but just taking that passage, can you imagine the body just being one big eyeball? I mean, really, how goofy would... I mean, some of us look goofy enough already, but can you imagine just one big eyeball? What purpose would that serve? What function is there other than just being able to see really, really well? You can't do anything, but man, can I see. There's not any member of this body that's unimportant, and there's not any member that should think of themselves as too important. Let's look at the next verse, though. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part with which lacked. This is where it really comes home. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Yeah. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Hey, I'm guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. You get with your group of people that you get along well with, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have friends and to have good fellowship and to have people that you... God made us that way, okay? God made us to have things in common with other people, where we can have a pure and sweet fellowship with other people. But when we get to the point that because someone is different from us, and folks, we're different, okay? We've got tall and short. We've got dark. We've got really, really, really pale white, okay? We've got old. We've got young. We have people of different economic statuses. We are just different in every way. But when we let our differences make us care less for somebody else in the body of Christ, we are wrong. And I am guilty of that. Just because I talk different than somebody else, or somebody speaks differently than me, or has a different thought about something, man, we are messed up. But thank God he remembers our frame, right? He knows that we're but dust. But we've got to get that right. We need to have the same care. It's not about whether people are exactly like us. We need to be looking for the needs of other people. All right. Next lesson that we can learn from this, I said we learn many different things. Nobody should think of themselves as unimportant in the body of Christ. Nobody should think of themselves too highly in the body of Christ. But another thing that we need to understand, that we can realize, you know, the body gets hurt. Okay, anybody testify that with me, right? The body gets hurt. We have aches. We have pains. Talk to my wife. That's going to get me in trouble later on. All right, but we have aches and pains. We really, really do. And when we have those aches and we have those pains, you know that the body doesn't function right. Brother Mel, he's downstairs right now, but you all know the problems that Mel's having with his knees, right? And I hope you're praying for him. But it started, if I'm right, with one knee. But what happens is when we have problems with one knee, we try to compensate, right? We compensate. Another member tries to compensate for what is going on with that body, with that member of the body. Turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. When one part of our body is not working properly, another part of our body tries to pick up the slack. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." How many times, though, do we just kick the weak person aside? But in the body of Christ, when we see one member that's suffering, that's the time for us to come in and to pick up the slack. That's the time for us to start carrying the other person's burden. And that burden might get heavy for you. There's some people that they're carrying many people's burdens in this church. And you know what? It wouldn't be so heavy on those people if more of us would recognize when people have a burden and try to help carry that burden. Hey, there's no burden that's too heavy for Jesus Christ, and that's one thing we got to remember. Well, I can't handle the burdens of other people. Hey, you don't have to. You don't have to handle those. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 tells us that you don't have to have those. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You can cast your cares and the cares that you're carrying of other people at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he can carry those. But members get hurt. Members get bruised. And we need to do our part as members in the body of Christ and help carry those burdens. Said tonight that we're all one body. We're placed here by the blood of Jesus Christ. The function of the Holy Spirit has put us into the body of Christ, and we've got a purpose. Each and every one of us have a purpose. And that purpose is, no matter what it is not too insignificant to be of value for Jesus Christ. We got to make sure that we're not thinking of ourselves too highly in whatever positions or whatever functions that we are performing. And we really, really need to help carry the burdens of other members. When other members get damaged, when other members get bruised, and when all of these things happen that happen in the body, we need to be careful to be caring for other people. I hope the message was an encouragement to you tonight. But one final thought about the fact that we're members of the body of Christ is that we're not in this race alone. I talked about a race. I talked about running. You know, when you're running a race, it can get kind of lonely sometimes, especially if you're on a long-distance race. You're out there all by yourself. It gets lonely. And it can get discouraging. You think, man, I'm not really doing very well. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. But when somebody else comes up next to you and they start running with you, did you get that? They start running with you. Man, you feel better. You get encouraged. The finish line doesn't seem as far away as it used to be. Church, if you're discouraged, you're not alone. If you have problems, you're not alone. There's an entire body. There are members working together towards the end. Just like Brother Rod sang that song, it will be worth it all one day when we see Jesus. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity again to have preached your word tonight. Lord, I just pray that it would do what you desire for it to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Pastor.
What a blessing. What a challenge. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder tonight, maybe you're a member here, and maybe you say, well, preacher, Brother Mike preached, God spoke to my heart. Maybe there's some things in your life that he might not even mention it, but the Holy Spirit brought something to your mind. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. God spoke to me. Yes, 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 ma'am, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I see that. Thank you. Pray for me, Pastor. God spoke to me while he was speaking. He could have been something that Brother Mike mentioned, but by the way, it could have been something that he didn't mention. The Holy Spirit can bring things to your heart just through the preaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, I pray with all our heart. First of all, I want to thank you for all our members of this church. We are one, one in you. And I thank you for this local church, Bethel Baptist Church. Help us. Help us to function as one body. Help us to love and be concerned for one another. Help us to do the work of God. Help us to do it well. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a verse. If you'd like to come and pray, you come right now.